The suspect is approaching the building. Repeating, suspect is approaching the building. We are presently tracking on visual.
Who is it?
It's me, Dave. Open up now.
Who is it?
It's me, Dave, man. Open up.
Who?
It's Dave, man. Open up. I think the cops saw me come in here.
Who is it?
It's Dave, man. Will you open up?
Who?
Dave, man. Open up.
Dave?
Yeah, Dave. Come on, man. Open up. I think the cops
saw
me.
Dave's not here.
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E. Will you open up the goddamn
Dave?
Door? Yeah, Dave.
Dave?
Right, man. Dave. Now, will you open up the door?
Dave's not here.
Oh.
Suspect is now in the building. Suspect has entered the building.
Well, I just got here. Good evening, Robert Knight. You're tuned to WBAI. This program is called Earthwatch, and we're going to have some adventures in perception tonight. And thank you for tuning in to WBAI New York, part of the Pacifica Network, featuring Radio with Voyeur Vision. Welcome to Earthwatch. I have been scanned, recognized, and admitted. And this is WBI New York, radio with Voyeur Vision. Referring, of course, to the new technology being installed by what leaders would say is necessary for the security of the institution, but comprising as many as 6 to 9 cameras, who knows how many there are on a given day, that are located at places throughout the station, so there's nowhere you can go without it being known you went there. No phone you can make a call to that could not later be tracked by FBI digital telephony so that they'll know who had the conversation with the whistleblower. Not like it was in the days when WBAI station manager went to jail rather than giving up tapes from broadcasts that this station did on the tombs. Well, we have a new data-gathering technology here now that raises those fundamental questions of security and insecurity as well. We don't know, I don't know, what the disposition of the information in the tapes is. The cameras are zoom and magnifiable so that face recognition can take place. You know, some say, and professional minds may differ, that the security needs could have been sufficiently satisfied by buying a $79 camera that can be adapted to use AC power and that transmits to a local receiver on the gigahertz range. $79 you can get these things for. Pop it up on the wall outside the doors coming into the station, and that way reception has a way to see who's outside. But some of us are feeling a little uncertain about the ubiquity of photography inside the station, and I'm one of them. I said before that I feel like I ought to John after, not only because Huey isn't doing anything for me these days, but because I'm now a television and radio performing artist. That's right, hey, Mark. And this is how we're affected by, it's like that scene in Star Trek. If one department head goes and speaks treasonously to another, then the entrance and exit into the office can be tracked and followed up. Just like that scene when Kirk's body was taken over by an evil woman. So there are issues that abound and generally on the subject of office surveillance and public surveillance. And I'd like to talk with you about those issues just a little bit tonight. My name, by the way, is Robert Knight, and this program is called Earthwatch, very much with the emphasis on watch tonight. Couple of news items. We begin with this one from Virginia Beach, where Mayor Myra E. Oberndorf this week criticized the police department's hope of using technology to scan the faces of oceanfront pedestrians for wanted criminals. Remote cameras feeding images into face recognition software would undermine the city's family-friendly atmosphere, she said, echoing the sentiments of visitors and locals. Oberndorf said that she was unaware of a proposal to use observation or surveillance cameras in many locations in order to scan the faces and pick up matches electronically and arrest people on the basis of the often erroneous indications that come from that. Now, Oberndorf said that she was unaware of the proposal until she saw a published report last Friday, even though a police memo detailing the plan was available at a city council meeting. In any case, the software works by creating a map of 80 distinctive points that make up a face, such as the distance between a person's pupils or the circumference of the irises, police say. The program then compares that map with a database containing pictures of wanted criminals, runaways, and missing persons. The picture was black, officer. It was a black photograph, officer. If any faces in the database align with 14 of those points, then the program has made a match. The officer watching the monitors at the second police precinct would then radio an officer on the street to approach that person for an interview. A match alone would not be enough to establish probable cause for an arrest, police insist. Police have used cameras in the resort area for years to monitor crowds, but this software, which the gambling industry has used for years, would help reduce human error, they claim, based on bias regarding race, dress, or hairstyle. But those benefits do not outweigh the potential abuse of civil liberties, many say. Ronnie Wheeler of Norfolk said, I wouldn't want my face being watched by the police department or by Pacific for that matter. It makes me nervous. I just don't want that. They're getting real bold. Well, Ronnie Wheeler of Norfolk, I can relate to that. If approved, the project would be funded with a $150,000 grant from the Virginia Department of Criminal Justice Services and $50,000 from local tax money. $200,000. You could do it. You could have security with a $79 gigahertz relay monitor. $79. Go click on space.com. One of those annoying pop-up ads will pop up, and they use it for advertising, that kind of thing. But it's ubiquitous. You can see the availability everywhere. Tampa, Florida was the first American city to adopt the software. Virginia Beach would be the second. In the past few weeks, however, several Tampa council members have called for a closer examination of the policy. But not our union. Well, let's see what else is going on here. An exquisitely related story, also this week from Tampa, Florida. Police in that western Florida city have become the first major law enforcement agency in the United States, as we noted, to use a controversial face recognition video camera system to find criminals in public areas. Well, now that's a bad sentence, because it only finds what the camera and the software identifies on a discrete and finite number of permutations as being a match between two faces. And that is not the same thing as the identity relationship with whether such a person is indeed that person or even indeed a criminal. So it's a bad sentence writing by Agence France-Presse when they say to find criminals in public areas. The system, which opponents call a violation of visitors' and residents' rights, lets police scan a person's face, then enter the scan into a corresponding computer database, which compares faces to a software system of 30,000 wanted felons. Steve Filippi, the chair of the local chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union, said, "All of the video cameras are in public areas, and frankly, we don't know what to do about it."
Here's a brick.
The 36 surveillance cameras are installed in Ybor City, the city's entertainment district. Tampa Police Detective Bill Todd, in charge of ops and maintenance for it, said the system allows us to gain a vantage point for policemen. On any given weekend night, there's anywhere from 150,000 people in Ybor. Our patrolling policemen can't see the entire block, so the cameras help them. But should they always see the entire block?
Should one woman have that much power?
Or man, if it's a male police officer. Civil libertarians object to the system as a constitutional violation. Tampa civil rights lawyer Matt Fenton told AFP there's probably going to be a search and seizure case to come to trial over this system, alluding to a police action that is prohibited by the United States Constitution. Those French. They are so idealistic. And three Tampa City Council members who voted for the face printing technology said recently that they did so without understanding what they had done, and they now question the need for it. Well, I think those stories are pretty self-explanatory in regard to the fundamental issues of a ubiquitous, ongoing office surveillance technology. We'll have more comments on that, more information. My name is Robert Knight, and this is Earthwatch on WBAI in New York, Pacifica Radio with Voyeur Vision. We'll be taking your calls a little bit later on at area code 212-209-2900, but we have quite a bit of material to present to you tonight, so I hope you will stay tuned and enjoy the show and smile, because you are on camera.
I want to be left alone in my average home. What point do I owe?
This is Earth Watch on WBAI New York. My name is Robert Knight. And recognizing our responsibility to broadcast opposing points of view, we take a few moments to consider the perspective from a security management point of view. I went to one of the leading companies in that field, ADT, and they have a guide for security systems. And in the interest of balance, I think it would be right to share what ADT has to say about it. On the issue of closed circuit TV, or CCTV, they say that closed circuit television gives you the ability to view and record events happening in multiple areas of your facility. Camera surveillance can result in positive effects on your business operations, improve loss prevention and shrinkage control, and power to your access control, free you from extensive guard services, and lower your liability and insurance payments. They have a special service called Secure Vision, registered trademark. Advances in image recognition have led to a next-generation video surveillance system. ADT has developed and supported advanced security monitoring solutions for 125 years. Our Secure Vision system is the most powerful central monitoring tube ever introduced in the security industry. By using advanced breakthroughs in image recognition and interactive video, Secure Vision can help your business improve safety, protect assets, increase alarm response, and reduce overall security costs. Card readers. Our user-friendly card reader systems provide a unique card identity for each card holder. And that means access can be controlled, monitored, and tracked by each discrete user. Employee protection. Access control helps provide a secure, controlled working environment. It gives employees a higher level of confidence and peace of mind. Yeah. It also reduces the exposure to lawsuits and claims associated with personal injury and assaults. That's from the ADT Security Corporation. Disclosure requires me to announce that ADT is the provider of the surveillance cameras here at WBAI.
Be worried about weak-kneed people who don't like the looks of
a... At any cost? At any cost? How far would you go with that? How far would you extend that?
Just watch me.
Hi, this is Gil Scott Heron, unknown bluesologist, speaking to you on Free Speech Radio, WBAI 99.5 on your radio dial. Stay here.
This is Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight. That's my ID. And the station is WBAI New York, Pacifica Radio with Voyeur Vision. Said that we would insert into the discussion the civil libertarian, some of which positions you've heard, as well as the security managerial points of view. And we did present some of the arguments made by the ADT company. Here's another, I think, salient piece that I think takes a security management point of view. It's from an article titled, Why Jury is a Four-Letter Word. The article begins with these paragraphs, and then I'll skip to the relevant part. Why jury is a four-letter word? It's the moment you never want to see happen. The jury has just returned from deliberations, and a court officer reads the verdict. The jury has just returned from deliberations, and a court officer says, we, the jury, in the above entitled action, your former employee versus your company, fine for plaintiff in the sum of $3 million compensatory dollars and $2 million in punitive damages. Although dramatic, these types of cases are happening with frightening regularity. The problem is that both the number of employment lawsuits and the monetary awards employees are winning are escalating. But there's hope. By adopting strategies such as alternative dispute resolution policies and employment audits, human resources managers are able to do new policies. By adopting strategies such as alternative dispute resolution policies and employment audits, human resources managers can help lower their firm's litigation risks and increase the chances that they'll never have to set eyes on a jury or a courtroom again. And skipping to the relevant part for our discussion tonight, the author goes on to say, when touching on the subject of office surveillance, in the following paragraph, believing that hiring good employees is the best defense against questionable lawsuits, employers are adopting comprehensive employee screening and selection procedures. Employers are more frequently relying on applicant drug testing, applicant background and criminal reviews, and on-the-job employee surveillance. On-the-job employee surveillance. To screen out employees who might become problems. Whoa! Damn, that's one hell of a sentence. Let me read that again. Employers are more frequently relying on applicant drug testing, applicant background and criminal reviews, and on-the-job employee surveillance to screen out employees who might become problems. Of course, federal and state laws already regulate many of these areas, and ironically, if not carefully developed, some corporations' efforts may attract the very litigation that adoption of these policies was designed to avoid. That is from an article called Why Jury is a Four-Letter Word. The article is written by Matthew T. McLave. Matthew T. McLave, M-I-K-L-A-V-E. Matthew McLave works in the New York office of the labor law firm Epstein, Becker, and Green. I'm Robert Knight, and this is Earthwatch. watching Earth Watch on WBAI New York. Robert Knight, Pacifica Radio with Voyeur Vision. We're going to take your calls. It's your turn to contribute to the discussion at area code 212-209-2900. We'll discuss some issues and some implications that are, I guess, analogous for this crucible of what is happening in the rest of the world. These cameras that are everywhere in the station, no place you can walk without it being known where you were going, whose office you went into. As an investigative reporter, and I hope we can discuss things like this, suppose I'm getting a call from Deep Throat, or making a call to Deep Throat. Before these cameras, it would not be known or disclosable to a district attorney's fishing expedition. Who made the call, who got the contact, who got the information. But now, with the cameras, there is a new association to be made between the time and extension of that phone call and who was seen at that phone at the time of the phone call with Deep Throat, or with the prisoner who's telling about disturbance that's happening inside the joint, or when talking to someone who may be pursued by police authorities. This is a radio station, not a law enforcement agency. And because of the association of simultaneous disparate data through a process that you might call data mining, management can now know who's talking to who when. They can associate phone calls with individuals. And this is something we've not had here before. And it's an issue that affects the public. It's analogous to the issue of digital telephony that the FBI and the Clinton administration have been pushing for. It's related to the cameras that are in parks, businesses, and everywhere you go in New York City. It's analogous to the cameras at the Super Bowl that were also used as a test bed for this face recognition and then a rescue technology. So think about these things, and we'll take your calls at 209-2900 right after this to soothe the savage breast.
Better watch your P's and Q's. Hang up your clothes and clean up your room. Do everything that you're supposed to do.
Cause Santa Claus is watching you.
Now you kids better behave. Get your homework every day. And try to make good grades in school. Well, every Christmas Eve, he climbs on his jet full of toys and trim. Christmas cheer to all the little girls and boys. And Santa Claus say, home dashes, dancing, prancing, vixen, coming, Cuban, dying, blitzing, and Bruce and Marvin.
Say, well, Rudolph.
Say, well, say he dislocated his hip in a twist contest, and he's all stove up in the hospital. Yeah, but we've got a swinging replacement. Say, we got the fastest steed from the sands of the rainy desert, baby. Say, we got Clyde the camel. And then he say, oh, Clyde, oh, you big camel. And Clyde say, it's just camel butt. Don't bug me, man. Say, I'm pulling this leg fast I can.
Cause here comes out of old Saint Nick. Ho, ho, ho.
Now you children better be good and act like all good children should. Be careful of what you say and do.
Cause Santa Claus is watching you.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
Well, every Christmas Eve, he climbs on his sled with the dual exhaust, side mirrors. Foxtails, mud splash, and leopard skin seat covers.
Say, what have you got in your big bag for all the kitties this year, Santa?
Say, I've got apple
rifles and oranges, 170 ponies, 3,000 sets of drums, 7,000 comic books, and a do-it-yourself guitar tour. Complete with an 8x10 cutter photo of Bo Diddley, suitable for framing, yes. And with that, leaping on his sled and laying his fingers side of his nose, he pulled back on the reins, cracked the whip, and took off like the first stage of a Cape Canaveral rocket, headed straight for the ice and snowy regions of the North Pole, which is habitated and abounding in polar bears and penguins. Yeah. And you can hear him explain as he drove out of sight. On dashing, dancing, passing, dishing, common, Cuban, Diamond, Blitzen, and Bruce, and Marvin. On Clyde, hey, Clyde, say, put your camera for Merry Christmas to everybody.
All right, this is Earthwatch, about to take your calls at 209-2900. My name is Robert Knight. Here in the studios where there is an embarrassment of wealth of cameras, there's no place you can go without being seen going there in WBAI now, except the bathroom. I assume they can't see you when you're in the bathroom, but they can tell how many times you went and exactly when you did. But it's time for your comments at 209-2900, and you're on the air.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey.
Robert, I would wonder what is being done about voice recognition.
Well, I recognize yours. You're on the air.
Hello, Robert.
Yes.
Hey. Yes, apropos of what you were just talking about, I would like to suggest that we name the system, and my suggestion would be the Pacifica Internal Security System, better known as PISS. Which is what the management of the station seems to be doing.
Well, now
all of the listeners' money in installing this.
My only comment on that is that if that system that you named, we should eliminate it. This is Earthwatch. You're on the air.
Robert.
Yes.
I have an unrelated, interesting observation to make based on your brilliance of deconstructing racism. Here we go. You ready? I think that. White culture or whiteism should make a special effort to, like, learn a second language, i.e. Spanish, okay? When interviewing, say, the Puerto Rican Traveling Theater Company, you would notice at the age of 60 years old, white radicals would make an effort to learn some Spanish.
All right. You're on the air.
Hi, Robert.
Yes.
I have. Have we gotten off after cards yet?
Well, I have to check with the union I'm allegedly in now, the United Electrical, and I've learned that there's actually been three meetings.
Whoa.
Since December. Three.
Wow. Well, we're honorary members of the Truman Show, and this new security system, it gives a whole new meaning to. In-camera proceedings. Maybe the National Board can be under that same watch.
And Star Chamber proceedings. And we are jocular. We're trying to present, more than one perspective about it. One of the problems, I think, is that those who operate and who installed and asked for and put these systems in have not come forward with a set of inviolate rules of the use of this information. We do not know the retention cycle of this data. And I'm seriously concerned about fear of a prosecutorial fishing expedition made possible by this uncontrolled generation of data.
Well founded.
And as I was saying, now with the first time in the history of the station, the ability to track and identify individuals with phone calls to what may be sensitive sources, as a reporter who is within camera range, within eyeshot, whenever I sit down to look at the AP or Reuters, because one of the placements looks right through that newsroom window, it's the problem that I'm having is, theoretically, and some devil will use this information if they can. Sooner or later, it's bound to happen. I cannot guarantee the confidentiality of a source any longer.
Right.
Theoretically speaking.
Apropos of what you said earlier about a station manager going to jail, I wasn't aware of that incident, but I do remember another similar incident. I think it was 1969, and Ed Goodman was the manager, and
yes.
He got a tip at the station about the Weather Underground. I believe Bernadine Dorn was still a fugitive then, and there was an explosion. I think they blew up a urinal in the municipal building, and Ed Goodman, who took the call at the station, did not want to disclose any further information. Now, if that had happened with the system in place then, they would know everything.
Yes. Okay. That is a concern, and I think it's one that should be addressed by management. There should be a very clear and inviolate set of protocols, rules, of destruction of the tape or recorded data, of whatever information would allow, whether in real time or archived, very sensitive information to be retrieved. Thank you for the comment.
And the black disk is obsolete now.
Yeah, right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. What do they do, paint it? You're on the air.
Hi, Robin.
Hey.
I want to know, why is it when I gave money for the fundraiser, why didn't somebody go buy cameras?
We're going to issue baseball cards. By the way, speaking of fundraising, I neglected to mention, actually, a pretty bold and I think creative attack that has been taken by Pacifica Management. And in order to supplement shortfalls in other fundraising areas, there has been, there's about to be announced, I think on Tuesday of next week, a new strategic partnership.
Really?
Yes, between Pacifica and another broadcast entity, yes, Columbia Broadcast System. And in fact, we're proud to announce that right here in New York, the studios of WBAI will be the set for the new fall season of the immensely popular show Big Brother.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
You mean to tell me it's not free anymore?
Well, it means that BAI and the other stations can take part in the big bucks that the networks make from so-called reality television. And you've heard of that show, Big Brother.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, so we're going to be the location for the 2001 fall season of Big Brother, and in the year 2002, this will be the set of Survivor. This is Earthwatch. You're on the air.
Hey, Robert, this is Astro. Let me turn the radio down. You know, I remember there when Alan Dulles, head of the Central Intelligence Agency, before he was head of that, he was head of United Fruit Company, and the president of United Fruit Company was visiting New York. And he went up in a Pan Am building, and he went to about 2 feet of glass out to his death.
This is why I don't take some calls when I have a choice. You're on the air.
Hello, Robert. This is Marcus.
Hello, Marcus.
My sister Marjorie was telling me this morning that the whole idea of surveillance, and in fact the technology itself, originated in Africa in actually the 12th century.
Ha, 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 ha. You're on the air. You're listening at the wrong time of day. Wait until dawn.
How you doing?
Okay.
Okay, I'd just like to say you guys are doing a real good job. More people have to wake their eyes up and really focus on these issues.
All right.
And then just really wake up. Otherwise, we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, there's been a sort of a schizophrenia. Some people are staying strong and others are paying close attention. You're on the air. Yeah. That's a bad line there. You're on the air. Hello? Hello? Woo. Hello?
I need help.
This is Earthwatch. You're on the air.
See, Robert, there is no cachet or sexiness about knowing Spanish. Am I right?
You're on the air.
Hello, Robert. Let me turn the radio off.
You're having acoustical
distractions. Well, I hope I can come to the rescue here.
Thank you.
I want to make a suggestion that, I'll make it in a bit. I have a couple of questions relating to the cameras that you might answer.
All right. And remember, I'm theatrically, aside from the serious civil libertarian and confidentiality issues that I'm raising, trying to use the situation here as a fulcrum for understanding what's happening to us throughout the rest of society.
It's definitely, I mean, we're right in it now, aren't we? It's in us. I mean, here we are.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, who is watching these cameras? Are they being watched? Or, I mean, who's watching at the other end?
Well, I don't know exactly, but ostensibly the operations department, the people who do operations, technical things, security and such around here.
At the station?
Yes, who are, for the most part, decent people. I'm not saying that they are all working for the FBI and COINTELPRO and all of that. These are people who I know personally, at least at this point in time. And you know, I believe that they feel that they are doing necessary things to maintain the physical integrity of the station.
Evidently, there's some...
I disagree with the what I consider to be the excessive application of the technology.
Yeah, I can see.
What is simply a plausible issue, perhaps, of entry control. But what's going on inside the station is making this look very much like an Epstein Becker-friendly workplace.
I could see having a couple of them at the front, people coming in, but the rest of it is really out of place. And I think that it's really time for those people in their comfort zones to not wait until there's nobody left to stand up for them. You know, the old story. When they catch on that they feel uncomfortable, they better feel uncomfortable a little sooner. I do have a question about, is there one in the station manager's office? That's where a lot of the aggressive action is taking place.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. I'm not often there.
I mean,
there is a monitor which shows a subset, only one image, from the 7, 8, or 9 that are operational, and it shows what's happening out in the elevator lobby, and that's a plausible thing. It's just the chilling effect inside that may have ancillary consequences. That
all in all, I would call it a psychotic episode, and I think that
the way to get beyond psychosis is with clarity, with a grounding in reality, and a collective determination of what is to be done, how much is to be done, how little is to be done, what guarantees, securities, and rights are associated with this Pandora's box of information that could be used for ill.
I wonder if it's possible for the union to step in on it.
Don't make me laugh. Don't make me laugh. This current union leadership has a great antipathy to the previous administration, I think, is a safe and conservative way to characterize
it.
There are workplace issues that I do not think have been adequately dealt with there being only three meetings. Some of them raised at the behest of others, or at least the hue and cry of others for such a thing to take place.
Well, it's the old story. It's the old Reverend Niemeyer warning. You know, when...
If I had a real union, I would have an information pack in front of me right now explaining what the strategy is, what the technology is, what a worker's rights are, and so on and so forth. But I see none of that.
Well, let me say that I took a... on one of the programs here, I took a lead from it, and I went to take a surveillance camera players tour.
Oh, I've heard of those.
Down at City Hall.
Bust in and do their number. And
I mean, if you want to see paranoia in work, you see all those cameras all around City Hall. Now, I remember when I used to go to City Hall for hearings and things, you could walk in the back door, the front door, and now it's all blocked off, and these cameras are all over the place.
It's a way that... impoverished political people can collect their audition reels for future performance.
Well, I feel that this business of, what you read from the companies...
Epstein, Becker, Green, and ADT.
Yeah.
ADT. Well, you know, I'm not... the word has been sullied by organizations, but to the extent that I am a libertarian or civil libertarian... I felt it important to present the point of view of some of the more prominent exponent or proponents of security procedures in the workplace.
Yeah. Oh,
that's why I chose those two companies.
I want to say, I recall, apropos of their saying that it'll help the companies from being sued if someone gets hurt. I recall that's somebody who is a producer now and whose initials are CR. Was assaulted. Somebody sued the station.
I don't want to go there. I think my position and response is very clear on that issue, and I'd rather stay on this subject right now.
But for people who have called in and given you a hard time, and after those kind of calls, I suggest they get up early on Saturday and 11 o'clock call the program.
All right. Hard times are what make it tougher. You're on the air.
Cat Radio Cafe Collective would like to report that it plans to go to the Toy District tomorrow and see if it can obtain a wholesale amount of Groucho glasses so that we can give them away, in David Dozer's words, as Kleenex for our guests as they arrive at our studio.
Yay!
If we cannot find them wholesale, we will donate the first 15 pairs of glasses retail.
Hey, you know, I'm going to get one of those feather masks, and then I imagine that the cat radio people will find me as attractive as I do their show.
If it has whiskers. Good night.
If you mix it with fish. Good night, JC.
Good night.
This is Earthwatch. You're on the air. Good. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, this is Sam from the Bronx.
Hey.
And I'd like to ask you a very serious question. Are there cameras in the tally room where people who are activists
often come, yeah,
answering telephones?
I don't know yet.
Oh, well. Now, you know, that's frightening. Because they don't just come down and answer phones. These people, some of these people are very active in community. And you don't know who's handling the cameras,
well,
or how.
So far in the past, they have traditionally been so. Who knows these days? But people who come here out of love for the station, I think that they should have the same expectation of privacy as the workers or anyone else.
I would like to hear some of them call in and give their opinions on how they feel about something like that. That's pretty dangerous.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Have you ever volunteered here?
No, I haven't come down. I have a broken hip right now, but I had planned to spend some time once I'm up and around again where I can move like I usually do.
Okay.
But that frightens me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why, because I'm not ashamed. I've served time. And I've been watched through cameras serving time.
Mm.
And I am very active, still active, in a lot of organizations, you know, our letters and so forth, you know. And I don't need no cameras on me.
Well, am I then being excessive? Am I making a mountain out of molehill? Because in the time that you've served under cameras, you just forget about it, or are you conscious of it all the time, or what?
Listen, let me put it like this. I'm a Black Panther. I was with the Black Panther Party when they were very active. The FBI don't forget anything. You understand? My job, my career, was driving charter buses and school buses and tractor trailers. Last year, when I wanted to do some part-time work in school buses, you know, I had to be fingerprinted. They have that new law now that you have to be fingerprinted. I mean, I'm 64 years old now. And those fingerprints went to Washington, D.C. or went to the FBI, whether it was here or in Washington, I'm not sure. But New York State Department of Transportation got a letter from the FBI that said, we don't want them driving school buses. I've been driving buses all my life.
Oh.
You see, that's what I'm talking about. Things like that, they don't stop. Once you've been active, especially in organizations that I've been active with, Reverend Daughtry, Al Sharpton, the Black Panther Party, Elijah Muhammad, they don't forget that. Look at Jamil right now. And Jamil and I are great friends. Look at what he's going through right now, 35 years later. They don't forget. They don't forget. And that's putting people in danger because they're activists, because they're active in the community. I worry about things like that. This is not just Big Brother. This is Big Sister right in your butt. And I don't think that's fair.
Mm. You know, do you understand the point I was trying to make before?
Oh, yeah.
That, like, you happen to call in, and, but if the data set on you with the Promise or whatever software tracking and record management that they are using today, if I had called you and they knew that you received a call at a certain time,
mm-hmm,
from a radical radio station,
mm-hmm,
through caller ID,
mm-hmm,
they wouldn't know who you were going to give the tape to.
Mm-hmm.
But now with these cameras, they could know who used the extension here to call you.
Not only that, but guilt by association. It would be, and you'd be the most perfect
so
person in the world.
Say again.
The most honest person in the world. But if you're sitting down talking with me, you might, at this point, just be paid a visit. Why? What was the conversation about? How do you know him? Where do you know him from? That's what I'm talking about. They have unsolicited pictures, stills, videos that can be viewed by someone else, and all they're doing is answering telephones. But I call into that station, too. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed. You are teaching heavy tonight.
I hope that somebody, the people who take those pledges, will say how they feel about that. You know, call in. This needs to be discussed in depth. This is not just about security. I mean, the security of the radio station can be done in areas where danger comes from. How is it dangerous to be in a studio room and you have a camera looking right through the window at you? For what? If you're talking to someone who wants to give you some information that newspapers refuse to handle, who would visit you when you talk about it on the air? That's pretty dangerous. That's very dangerous. I just thought that I would bring that up and try to see how other people feel about that who donate their time to the station to try to keep the station alive.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for your comment.
Ah, well, you're my wisdom tonight. Thank you so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm going to respect the thoughts behind that call and ask those of you who call subsequently to stay near that point. That was an important call. My name is Robert Knight, and this is Earthwatch. We'll continue with calls after a moment of thought.
There's a somebody I'm longing to see, and I hope that he turns out to be someone I will watch over me. Oh, I'm a little lamb who's lost in the woods, and always be good to one who's watched over me. Oh, he may not be a guy some girls think of as handsome and lovely, but to my
Earthwatch on WBAI New York 99.5, Pacifica Radio with Voyeur Vision. Before continuing with some more calls at area code 212-209-2900, I submit for your consideration this from the Pacifica Management Manual. No, actually, I'm just joking. It's by Niccolo Machiavelli. It's called The Prince. Just a sentence for now. The prince who fears his subjects more than he fears foreign foes should erect fortresses. But the prince who fears foreign foes more than he fears his subjects should disregard them. This is Earthwatch. The number is 209-2900, and you are on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Oops. I didn't mean to turn you up. I was trying to turn you down, but not off.
You turned me on. I'm a radio.
Are you ready now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, first I want to say that I have volunteered at the station several times, okay? Before Utrecht took over, I did. And I did not come down and feel like I needed to have a camera watching over me. As a matter of fact, if anything, it's not really that kind of a sophisticated place. I didn't feel like, you know, it was like that. So, no, I don't think at that point I ever had any discomfort about cameras. As a matter of fact, it was good not to have them there. And I want to tell you something. I live in East Harlem, and I've been living here for 15 years, and I lived here when drugs were so bad, you know, there were bullets flying over my head and stuff at night. And people always ask me, you know, the stupid question, aren't you afraid of being up there as if I'm living in some kind of different planet? No, I always tell them no. As a matter of fact, I think if you expect bad things to happen, then they will always happen. So if you go to BAI and you expect some nuts going to come in and blow your brains out, guess what? It probably will happen. But I never went down and expected anything bad to happen. I always thought it was a great opportunity because I was excited to be meeting people that had a common vision. And unfortunately now, BAI is just... You've lost so much, and you keep losing stories all the time that are really important, like things that are happening in East Harlem that I cannot seem to get anybody to pay attention to down there. I mean, we have a bus barn that's going up that's 10 stories high. Hello? That's 137 full diesel buses, and I have never, ever seen anything like this in New York City. I can't believe that we can't get any really, really rigorous coverage on a story like this because... this is a completely residential community, 100% residential. And although we had this bus barn here for a long time, it was 1.5 stories high. They've since knocked it down, and they're making it almost 10 stories high. I don't know.
All right. I can tell you that I know it is the intention of many of us here for those things to be done. In fact, I was having a conversation with Jose Santiago, the news director today, who was expressing similar wishes. And Andrea Sears, of course, Ginger Moran, everybody else who's working in the newsroom, I would ask you to give a call, leave a recording message in the newsroom.
Yeah, and, I have.
Do it again, and and send a copy to make another one to my extension 2997, and we'll see what we can do on that particular front.
You know, and you guys also missed another really great story that
I'm sure there are many that we've missed, but I'm asking you to tell us about the ones you know, and I will, and I think all of us will use special attention to try and get them done as best we can. This is Earth Watch, and you're on the air.
Yes, the surveillance. How much does it cost, and who pays?
Estimates range from $23,000 to $50,000. These are figures that have been discussed. I'm not speaking out of school or revealing internal information because it's part of the public record of the Pacifica National Board meeting. So all of that is or should have been available to you as information goes. So contact Pacifica National. Ask them for the minutes. This is Earth Watch. You're on the air.
Hello, Robert?
Yes.
Hi. Doesn't it raise a constitutional issue whereas you can't do your work with those cameras around? Because remember a couple of years ago when you were doing all that investigative reporting in South America? Do you think you could have done that with those cameras around?
There was... serious
this is a
intelligence.
Issue, a constitutional
there was serious intelligence, national security issues involved there. To answer that in the expected way would be hypothesis contrary to fact, which is a philosophical, illogical approach. But I know what you mean. I get the sense of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's better that you do, and my work is done.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. This is Earth Watch on WBAI New York, and you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Comment and a question.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't been there before during fundraisers.
Mm-hmm.
I'd considered it. It'll never happen now.
Mm.
I'm sorry. I don't like cameras.
Okay. Well, it's wreaked havoc on my makeup bill. Cosmetics are costing me a fortune now, and I'm not getting paid enough to do the makeup it requires to come to work now. I think it's important that management be sensitive to these concerns, and that may be the intent of the manager or management around here to do that. The security setup here is really not a totally indigenous WBAI operation. It was spearheaded by folks from WPFW, the station that was formerly managed by Bessie Wash, now the National Executive Director currently of Pacifica. So we are talking about institutional culture and measurable changes in that culture and the demeanor of activities here. And I'm not saying, that, certainly not, you know, the fellas in operations and, you know, bureaucrats here are necessarily mean for the nefarious possibilities of this technology to emerge. I believe that many of them in their own way love the station in their own way. But it's important that as a collective, we know where the Claymore mines are, that we know what the benefits, hazards, excesses, and chilling effects are of the technology. And that is the discussion that you all have so brilliantly helped me broach today. My name is Robert Knight. This is Earthwatch. And we're fighting for the real Pacifica principles here at WBAI, radio with voyeur vision.